He's naturally drawn there. There's nothing to do. He's naturally drawn there. Of course, that's the ultimate objective. But the part of a person's nature which is not naturally in line with perfection, which he has to subdue in order to reach perfection, that is a very difficult task. You see, that's a very difficult task. And it requires a certain rationality. Requires a certain rationality for a person to... there are two types of rationality in a person's life. One type of rationality is where the person inherently is rational. That means that the person does naturally what is intelligent to do. That's one level. But there's another level where a person is rational about his irrationality. That is very difficult. Rational about his irrationality. In other words, he knows that that what he's doing, that his desires are not in line with the good. And he has to work out rationally some way of handling it so that ultimately he should reach the good. So he has to impose upon himself certain restrictions, certain guidelines he has to establish for himself. And it's a painful thing. He's in a state where he's not enjoying really the beauty of the good itself because he's not in line. Emotionally, he's not in line. And yet, he can't allow his emotions to drag him into the other side, to the area of evil, because then he's going to destroy himself. So he has to work out a plan that he's going to eventually get to the good. So what he has to do is work out a rational system to deal with the emotions that he has that are completely irrational. That is a very difficult project, a very difficult undertaking for a person to do. Because the emotions pull him, they don't like the restrictions, and he has to subdue his own nature. Subdue his own nature, that's Kovish Yisitro. He has to subdue his own nature in order that he should be able to set up a system where eventually he'll arrive at the good. That's a special art, and that's a very difficult thing to do. Difficult thing for people to do. That's what people will usually fail. Okay? That's one of the things we mentioned. Tefillah is one of those things. Near the fall of Dasa Sad Hashem. Tefillah is a subduing of the emotions. Why three times a day? Because a person must be able to subdue his emotions, his nonsensical emotions, and pull himself out of nonsense three times a day and recognize what the ultimate reality is. That's tefillah. That's why Chazal placed such an emphasis on tefillah. Tefillah, the tzibur. Near the fall of Dasa Sad Hashem. Tefillah is the area. Very difficult thing to do. But what is the purpose? Why do we run to tefillah? Run! It says near the fall, Ram says, you have to run. Run to shul. What does running imply? Running implies that you have to exert a certain force against the other forces. Run! To pull yourself to go there. L'dasa Sad Hashem. To eventually attain a knowledge of God. To eventually attain the knowledge of God requires a certain subduing of the emotions in the irrational state. That's a very difficult thing to do. Most people can't do that. So that was the praise. He said, Rabbi Shimon ben Nesanel Yirei Chet. Rabbeinu Yonah says it perfectly. Sheyosis Yogam Lahachak Atzmam and Averis. What does it mean? It means he was able to be completely rational in evaluating his own nature and know exactly what must be set up in order for him to improve his nature, to reach perfection. And no matter how painful it was, he was able to establish these guidelines and follow them. To be able to follow that rational course when only one little part of your mind recognizes that's the rational thing to do. The rest of the person's whole psyche is against it. But there's one part of him, that little part of the mind, that can see the idea and can tell this is reality, this is the truth is here. And he senses his whole nature is against it. The truth is over here. He sees it with a small little light he can see. And he starts establishing a way of perfecting himself and reaching it. That is a difficult thing to do. To be able to be totally rational with regard to one's own imperfection, to do one's nature. Very difficult thing to do. You see, the Rambam, there are people that subdue their nature. I want you to understand something. We're not talking, there are people that go against their emotions. But usually when people say that, they're going against their emotions with other emotions. They think they're really being Kovish Yisrael. They have not experienced what Kovish Yisrael is. Everybody has experienced the case where they subdue their emotions. And usually when people hear that the Chachamim say you have to subdue your emotions, they associate with that type of phenomena. Everybody knows what it's like. We know we have internal experiences just like we have external ones, and we know when people talk about them what they are like. So when a person hears a Chazal say you're supposed to conquer your emotions, so he relates it to certain emotional experiences that he has had himself where he conquered his emotions. That is not really the experience that Chazal we're talking about. Chazal we're talking about a totally different experience. It's a different experience. And not everybody has had that experience. Because as a person develops in Yahadus, he has different internal experiences than he ever had before. And these internal experiences are not from the Hamon doesn't have it, because they're not on that level. The Rambam says Kovash is Yitro, the Rambam says Kovash is Yitro Bedato. Bedato, with his knowledge. Now when the Rambam says Kovash is Yitro Bedaito, most people don't even know what he's talking about. What do you mean it's Kovash is Bedaito? Kovash is means you conquer emotion, so you have to conquer emotion. I mean Bedaito. How does the Das fit into the picture? But what was the answer? The answer is Bidaito, it's an experience where the person suddenly recognizes that his whole nature, he could see his emotions, he sees the emotions from all sides, different sides, and he sees how they lead him away from reality, and there's only one small part of his nature that recognizes reality. It's a different kind of experience. And then he goes, he sets himself up to go and follow that part of his nature. It's a different kind of a thing. Most people don't have this because they haven't really isolated in their minds the other parts of their nature. So they usually it's one emotion or another emotion. But they haven't developed to the point where they've turned their mind on the emotion. So whatever they do is just the emotion forcing it again. He said. But this different kind of experience of Kovashis Yitro Bedaito, that different kind of experience, that's the real Yireche. Different kind of a phenomena. It's an internal phenomena that only a person that has reached a certain level can have. That's Yireche. That level is a high level already. That's a high level. And even though these were great tzaddikim, and they were Oved Me'ava, you see, yeah, but the thing is that what I said before is true also. It's true they're over in Ava, but not every part of their nature was over in Ava. You still have to, there's still an unruly part that a person has to deal with, no matter how great a tamachah is. The Rambam says it in the end of Hilchos Teshuvah. He said, to really be fully in over in Ava, he says, even great tzaddikim have not reached that level. It's an interesting Rambam, an unbelievable Rambam. It shows his insight into human nature. The end of Hilchos Teshuvah, the Rambam says that. He says, to reach the level where a person is here, like Avraham Avinu, where he's totally Oved Me'ava, means practically his whole personality is Oved Me'ava, he says, even Chachomim Gedolim, isn't that what he says, the lesson?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Even Chachomim Gedolim never yet. And even Chachomim Gedolim haven't always been Zocha to reach that level. An interesting thing. An interesting phenomenon. So the greatness,
in a way, it's harder for Chachomim.
It's harder.
Yeah,
you need to...
getting all this attention from the outside.
That's true. I mean, that's after to warp his... warp against him, 100%. That's what he said, literally, Avraham Avinu. That's called a gargoyle, that he only after he was able to... because it could be a harmful thing.
Yeah.
And the Ram says in one of his letters. Ram says in the end of the letter where the Ram talks about the Machla HaNushis, where the Ram talks about the people who... He says the human illness is that the person imagines that he has knowledge in every area. He says the more the guy is respected, he says the worse this illness establishes itself. Right? He says this level is a very high level. They ain't called Chacham Zochalah. And not every Chacham reaches this level. Is a tremendous level. That was his greatness. His greatness was that he was able to be unswerving, in spite of all the emotions against it. He was able to be unswerving when his mind saw what the right thing to do was. Okay, last one. The last one is Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. It says, Kemayin HaMisgaber. What's Kamayana, Miss Gabber? It means like a well that gets stronger and stronger. Creative force. Tremendously creative mind. Creative intellect. He would start investigating an area, he'd start growing just more creativity, more greater ideas, and expanding, and keep on...
Amkus.
He was able to do tremendous...
This is take number 5, Pirkei Avos, Perek Sheni, Halacha Ches.
Who are you, Omer? He said as follows. In Yiyu Kochach Me Yisrael B'Kaf Moznayim. He says if you would take all the wise men of Israel, all the Chacham, and put them on one side of a scale. What do you call that scale? It's a balance scale. Balance scale. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Horkinus, the Kaf Shmiel, and Rabbi Eliezer Ben Horkinus, he was the one that he said that he has the he never loses the drop. So you put him on the other side of the scale. He says Machrias Kulam. He would weigh down the scale in his favor against all of them. Then you have another statement. Abba Shalom and Mishmo. Abba Shalom says in his name. If you would take all the wise men of Israel and put them on one side of a balance scale, the Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus Afimon, and throw in Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus also onto that side of the scale, the Rabbi Elazar b'kaf shnia, and you throw Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch, the creative genius, on the other side, he says machri eskolim, away them all down. That's a contradiction.
The contradiction.
What? In the first one, yeah, he wasn't here. It seems he wasn't here. Okay? Yeah, it's an interesting thing. In the first one, he didn't say if you're throwing Ben Aruch on the other one. Yeah. So what's the answer? He says there was no one that had the tremendous amount of knowledge of Rabbi Elazar ben Horkinus. Never forgot a thing. He says Abba Shaul says that how come the other way he'd be machriya? The Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, he says linyan achidut v'asvara shibach Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch al kol chachmei Yisrael. He says in Tzas Omer she'elu shnei atanoim einan cholkin. He says that it depends what you're talking about. In other words, it's not a machlokas. One was speaking in terms of memory, and one member was speaking in terms of knowledge, and the other one was speaking in terms of creativity. It's an interesting thing the way Chazal evaluated Talmidim. I think there's something can be learned from this in this area. First question we have to ask about the area is. Yes. What is really what we have to understand about the member, now that we went through the member, what we have to understand about the member is what is really the most blatant question about this member? Okay, what do we learn from this, right? I mean, what's the purpose of the limud? Yes?
Another thing you have to ask is that the Mishnah mentions all these great milos of all these great people, and then it just picks on two. And again, so what happens to all the other ones?
All right, but I think Leslie Unger mentioned something before. He said that when they said, the Shvach of the second one, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, that says that Asher Yelata, he has perfection of Midas, the Raman says. He said, what about Chachma? You never knew Chachma. The question is really, that you have to ask is, I could understand you want to praise people's Midas. So that's one area. You praise them ethically. Then I can understand you want to praise a person's intellect. So there are different phrases that you could bestow upon people in terms of their intellectual capacity. And the Jews to recognize the importance of the intellect, praise the intellect, fine. But how do you have in one member praises for two different things? I mean, here you tell me this person had a great memory. The Lord Van Horkens had a tremendous memory. You tell me the other person had tremendous neither. What does one thing have to do? What does one thing have to do with the other? And the praises have to be, if you're going to give me Yamona Shvachan, so you should praise them first of all, line them up. He had five Talmidim. He wanted to praise them, so you should line them up on an intellectual plane and praise them that way. Then, in terms of Midos, praise them in terms of the Midos. Right, it might be hard. He might have to come up with another five praises, but either he can leave some out or he can manufacture a few more. I mean, what kind of an avuvia is this?
Are we
that here you're saying this guy has a great memory and the other one is a very fine person. What does one thing have to do with the other? Two different things. One thing has nothing to do with the other. The praises aren't within the same realm. They're two different realms. So this person has a great meter. Fine. And this person has a great memory. I mean, what is it? And this person doesn't, and he, that was the whole essence of his Talmud, was his meter, and he didn't have any chachma with it. Two different things. One talk about his meter, talk about his meter, and talk about the other one's meter. It should be on the same plane. The praises should be on the same plane. You can't mix two different things. You understand? It's doing the members of all of us, he's mixing two different things.
I think that,
That's going to be a little difficult. Why is that going to be difficult? Because you're going to have to say that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, his highest thing about him was his midah. I mean, that's
very nice.
I mean, we don't in Yadas. The great thing is the great thing really is a person's chachma. And you say he has good midah, very nice. But his chachma is the Who is the leader of a generation? Who is the leader? Chachma is a way to achieve good midah. Yeah, but without Chachma there's nothing. Without Chachma there's nothing.
Are we assuming Chachma?
Yeah, hey, you're on to something. You should know something. But you have to elaborate a little more on that. But I think you have a good point there. Yes. Good memory, another person is a nice, good meetup. I mean, how do you compare these two things? You know, my question is, how do you, they're two different things, two different realms. How do you compare these two things? They're two different things.
Isn't memory and chachma two different things?
Memory and chachma two different things. You're right. And memory and chachma two different things also. Yeah, totally different. You have a certain amount of facts. But you're right. And basically you're right. One person has an encyclopedic mind, and another person is a creative mind. Two different things. The Rambam says that what is perfection in man? Perfection in man is two things. The person is judged according to his actions and according to his knowledge. What is the combination? The combination is as follows. That the soul, in Yadus, the soul, the perfection of man is the soul's relationship to God. The soul's relationship to God. His relationship to the source of the chachma of the entire universe. That's the perfection of the soul. But how does the soul relate to God? There are two different ways that the soul relates to God. Let's take Chachma. Chachma really is essentially the way we relate to God. Because you recognize Chachma and God is the source of all Chachma. That's the Tzelem Elokim Baras Adam. That's the whole perfection of man. Without the Chachma, there's nothing. But you can have a person who is a, let us say for instance you have a person that is a great chacham. So he has a tremendous mind, a tremendous intellect. But he has very little interest really in the chacham. Most of the day he spends in doing his nonsense. He learns 5 minutes a day. Alright? Can't say it's nothing, 5 minutes a day is nothing. But you cannot say that this person's soul is really directed towards the good. Because the energies of the soul are being spent elsewhere. Okay, then you could have the reverse situation. We have a case where a person has a tremendous desire for chokhmah and for Torah. So his energies are really directed there. His energy is not directed in other areas. But the only thing is that he doesn't have much chokhmah. So how much energy to direct towards something that he doesn't know what it is? The reason why it's not because, in other words, there are tremendous sources of energy being directed, but there's no object to receive them. You see? Now, you cannot say, strictly speaking, that there's no object to receive them, because every person has some recognition of a chacham. Person learns Chumash and Rashi. Also, you know, the Chumash and Rashi we learned at a very deep level. I mean, just simply, superficially. That a person learns superficially learns a pasuk of chacham. So even a person that goes to a rabbi's shiur on a Shabbos afternoon and he has some recognition of chachmah, some recognition of chachmah. Of course, he doesn't know what chachmah really is. You can't compare him to the big goyim that knows what chachmah is, that really knows what knowledge is. This is a different thing altogether. He just doesn't have that capacity. So if that person is on the small level, will direct all his energies to his level of chachma, it is true that he will be directing a tremendous amount of energy, but you cannot really say that he's directing that much energy to chachma because he doesn't have chachma, he doesn't know what it is. You see? So in order for a person to really reach a high level, you need a combination. With the masa of a rov chachmasa who need them. That's why you have all the mitzvah and Torah. The mitzvah and Torah purpose is to direct the energy towards chachma. And the essential mitzvah, of course, Talmud Torah, is that you should have that chachma so that the energy is directed, the energy has to have an object. You understand what I mean? It's two different things. And a person's soul is judged by the ratios of how these two combine. So you can have a person that has a tremendous chacham, and he's not really involved. His emotions are involved in nonsense. So therefore his soul is not really drawn towards the good, even though he knows what it is. See? And you have another person that doesn't really know that much what it is, but he has tremendous energies put in it. So he has could have a greater relationship to the good than the person that has the greater mind. It's very possible. Because the person might have a very great mind, but the energies aren't there. So what good is the chachma? You see, the perfection in man is the relationship between the soul and the good. That's the perfection in man, and that relationship is brought about by two different areas. First of all, the knowledge of what the good is, and secondly, the amount of energy that's involved in attaining it. That's why you have the Yisachar and Zvulun. What's Yisachar and Zvulun? One person is not a talmid chacham, can't learn. So what does he do? He takes a person who is a Talmud Chacham, and he makes a contract with him. He supports him, and he splits his Torah. That's Yisachar and Zvulun. Person can do that. Yisachar and Zvulun. He will share in the other person's Torah. What does it mean? How is it possible to share? Well, the Rambam says that even though he does that, it doesn't mean that he's not taught himself. See? Why? But what does it mean? It means to say that his energies are directed towards the good. His energies are directed towards the good. It means he wants it to the point where he can overcome his own materialism and have somebody else learn. He can recognize that this is the good in the world and this is the ultimate good, and therefore I'm satisfied, I'm willing to give from my own possessions that this should exist, that this person should learn, his knowledge should increase knowledge in the world. He recognizes that means that his emotions are directed towards the good. He may not be a great Talmud Chacham, but insofar as whatever appreciation, whatever perception of Torah that man has, you know all his energies are attached to that. That's a tremendous level. That's why they say that's a shifa, that's a partnership. Partnership and Olam HaBa, they split. What it means is they split, it means that this person as the schar, the person who gave him, he has a tremendous schar because his energies are attached to the good, to the perfection. That's the idea of Yisachar and Zvulun. That's the idea of Yisachar and Zvulun. So you see that perfection really in Yadus. In Yadus, there aren't two things in Yadus. People make a mistake when they want to be great Talmid Chacham, because they want to be just the splendor, the Talmid Chacham that they're after. Cover. But the truth of the matter is, what a person should really be after is only one thing, that's perfection. And perfection is brought about by a combination of these two factors. That's what perfection is brought about by. So when we speak about the totally perfected person, you have to speak about both aspects. Now, what this Tana said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he would praise his Talmidim, he was speaking about perfection. He wasn't interested in Lumbus. Lumbus is very nice, You know what I mean? But if you're speaking about perfection, it's a different thing. First, he's a very sharp mind, but he's not really the sharp mind, and he enjoys being sharp because he likes it, he really enjoys it, he gets a lot of honor out of it. That's not perfection. Perfection is the inherent attachment to the good. So he would characterize each one in terms of their soul, what stands out in terms of their attachment to the good in this verse. Now let's say, for instance, you take, for instance, the loss of Ben Hurkanus. They say he had a tremendous memory. No, it doesn't mean he had a tremendous memory. Fine, so what? There are plenty of people with encyclopedic memories, that photographic memories. Because I'll say, though, there were people who used to memorize before they wrote down Tosh Vapeh. So anybody in Chol Yisrael that had a photographic memory, and they had several of those people, they were set up to memorize all the Mishnayos and all the Brises. That's how all this work came down to us. Through the system, everything was done to preserve the Tosh Vapeh. And they didn't have, in those days, they didn't have technology, so they would use the human brain. I mean, the people with photographic minds, Tanakamei Derahuna, photographic memory. They knew exactly every Mishnah, every Brise, every word. So you're going to tell me that he would praise such a person just because he had a photographic memory? No. What he meant was that's where you saw the expression of his perfection. His perfection was, it wasn't simply a memory. It was a love for the ideas, that every idea was valuable to him. And he couldn't lose an idea. Every idea is like precious jewelry. Every thought, every word of Torah, every concept, every fact, even. Fact is very precious. If a person loves the Torah, facts are very precious, even though he doesn't understand it. But it's something which he can unravel. How could you lose one of these things? His attachment, his perfection was an attachment to the knowledge of Torah. That was in line with his nature. You can't have that perfection if you don't have the memory. And if a person doesn't have the memory, he doesn't have the knowledge, what is he going to be attached to? He can't be attached to it. But Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus' perfection was his avas Torah, his love of knowledge, for every bit of knowledge. Never lost a point. Never lost a fact. Not just because of his memory. Never lost a fact because he would never allow it to happen, because every fact was extremely valuable. That's what it means. And then that was his level of perfection. When it says Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was the creative mind that meant that this is the way his soul was attached to the good. His soul was attached to the good through the creative process. Tremendous appreciation of the creative process of the human mind, of how the human mind can unravel the Chokhmah of the Shem. That was his attachment. That was his essence. Essentially, that's how his soul was attached to the good. When it says that the Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, that he had tremendous midas, mamilas amidas. What it meant was that you could see his attachment to the good from his midas, from his perfection, his personal perfection of the midas. The perfection of the midas means that you could see how every ounce of energy that he had was directed towards the good. This was what was outstanding about his character. That every bit of energy was constantly directed towards the good. That's perfection in man. So each one that he was Mona, each Shevach that he was Mona for each one, was really in terms of the total perfection of the human being, which requires both, which is necessarily consists of both things. How much energy the person has towards the good, and how much of the good he has. But they are different expressions. Different expressions. There's a love of the good. The main two expressions that come to the foreground later, you see, this is what's interesting. The other, the main two expressions which come to the foreground later is sort of like, it's almost like a debate between these two. The love of the knowledge, which means that his soul loves the good, that every point of knowledge is so important to him. That's how it was Ben Harkonis. And that's why he says you put all the Chachmei Yisrael on one side and put them on the other side or weigh them down. And then that his appreciation of knowledge and his attachment to knowledge, no one had such an attachment. What does it mean to say you put all Chachmei Yisrael? It means to say, all Chachmei Yisrael couldn't have as much knowledge. It doesn't make any sense, because if you think about hundreds of people against one person, it doesn't make any sense. What it means is that his level of attachment to the good, his love of the knowledge, was a qualitatively differentiated one. It was a different thing, different nature. That's why he says, if you put all the Chachmei Yisrael on one side, means as much quantity as you're going to add, you'll never get to this quality that he had. The attachment to the good, the love of every idea, every point of knowledge, no one had that. And even if you, and it's not something which you could say he was quantitatively superior. It was of a different level altogether. There are times when you say, look, one person likes this, next person is a little more, he likes this more. It's not that he liked it more. It was a different type of attachment. Different kind of attachment. That's why it says, all the Chachmei Yisrael, you take all their love of knowledge and put it on one side, and you'll never reach your beloved in Hokkanah. Because it stems from a different part of a person. It's a different level of perfection. It's qualitatively differentiated. He perceived it in a different way, a different kind of Ava. And the same thing with Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. With Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, he says, even if you put Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus on the other side, he says, he'll still be outweighed by Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. What does he mean by that? Why does he say that? That's an interesting thing. What is he trying to say?
He's supposed to point probably to perfection is really being attached to the creativity of the mind.
That's what he's saying, exactly. He's saying that the highest level is still the attachment to the creativity. That's the highest level. That's what he means. In terms of the total perfection, the highest level of attachment is the attachment to the creative process. Two different types of Torah personality. One is the love of the knowledge, which is a great level, but the love of the creative process, that's the highest level. That's the Rabbi ben Arach. That's why it says, even if you put of the laws of Ben Horkinus on the other side, you see, you'll still never come to that level of attachment to the good in terms of knowledge as the laws of Ben Arach. Attachment to the creative process. You know, we're very fortunate today. We don't realize it. We always are very thankful about the progress that we've made so that we can live more comfortable existences. Well, we're very fortunate today because with all the modern technology and with the heter that the Chachomim gave to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, so it really permits a person who doesn't have a good memory to really be involved in the creative process, because he could use all the sources that were established already in the Torah Shebaal Peh. Fantastic thing today. I mean, there's so many. You have to have a certain amount of background. I mean, you can't just come from nowhere and work out a sugya. It's true. But if you reach a certain amount, even though you don't have a phenomenal memory, you have all the Rishonim that bring in all the different areas, you have the Mesoros HaShas, you have the Achronim are tremendous in that, because they bring in all the relevant points. The person who has a creative mind has an ability today to partake of the enjoyment of that creative process, even though he doesn't have a very good memory. I mean, that wasn't possible in the times of Chazal, and it wasn't allowed to be done at that time, you see. But now, I mean, now it can be done. So really, I mean, if a person should be appreciative of the real good that has taken place through technology, and that is the ability of man to involve and engage himself in perfection through appreciation of the Chachmas Torah. That's something that can be done today to an unbelievable degree. It takes a few years to learn the method and the approach and a certain amount of basic background, but after that a person has the ability to really be involved on a tremendous level in one area where he doesn't really know all the shots. Okay, sometimes he might make a mistake. I mean, you can't even with all the safeguards could be making a thing, but on the whole he could do it. It's a tremendous thing. In our generation, it's true that we're weakened in terms of learning, but we also have a tremendous benefit. That we can't partake of this process. The purpose of the memory really is to show one thing. that every person is different in terms of their attachment to the good. There are various expressions in terms of the attachment to the good. And a person, while a person partakes of all of them, I mean, let me just point this out to you. It's not that one. You can't say that one. He, Rabbi Shimon Chananya, was a great Baal Midos. And what? He was Namaris. Do you understand this? It means that he was a great Talmud Chacham. He was a great Talmud Chacham. But it means to say that what he stood out in was his ability to direct all his energies to Chachma. That every person has a different. You have to know your own nature, and a person has to work along the lines of his own nature. And each individual will find that there's a different expression of his soul towards the good, a different attachment and different turning of the soul towards the good that each person has. And what a person must do is to know what that is and to work within that framework. To work within that framework. It's not a mold that you're trying to establish. You're not trying to establish a certain uniform model. You see? Torah is a natural thing. It's in line with the natural nature of a person's soul. And everybody's soul has a different structure, different nature. But there are various expressions. And what he did was, he showed what each person, how each person differed in his expression and what his expression was. And the purpose was that each individual should reflect on his own soul and to be able to understand himself and see wherein his own perfection, his own ability for perfection lies, so that he could work along those lines. I mean, that's the purpose. The purpose wasn't to give them praise, they weren't looking for praise, but to show the perfection of the soul, how the perfection of the soul works, and how there are various expressions for it. Each one had a different expression. It was an interesting thing. Yes?
Each one had their own, perfected to their own degree, right? Then why would you
pick out
one man and he's better than all the rest? If I reach my limit, so why
is
somebody else better
because he's
too
much?
He didn't say he's better.
He says he's better. He says you put him on one side, on the other side, so you outweigh them all.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. The truth of the matter is that the only... Let me make a correction on that point. You see, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, when you put them all on one scale, then if we go back, he says, if you put Rebbe Lozanokas on one side and you put all the Chachmas on the other side, so he outweighs them. Then he says, if you put Rebbe Lozanokas on one side and all Chachmas with Rebbe Lozanokas on the other side, he will outweigh them too. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's not a machlokas, he says. It's not a machlokas. Actually, one is speaking with regard to the relationship to Chachma, the appreciation of knowledge, the recognition of the importance of knowledge, and the other one is with regard to the creative process. So it's two separate realms, really. Actually, he doesn't say which one's better. The only reason I said that I sense that the creative process is superior, because he says, if he puts a lushness, if you put a blessing on Hercules, even with him. So actually speaking in terms of the creative process, what he means is that the appreciation of Rabbi Ben Horkinus wasn't just a memory bank. I mean, I want you to understand that. He wasn't just an encyclopedic mind, like a professor that just knows a lot of facts. He was a person that had a creative mind himself. But his attachment to the good was essentially, his unique characteristic was his attachment to the sum total of Chachma. Now, what he's saying about Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch was that his appreciation of creativity was also not something which was a quantitatively superior than other Chachmei Yisrael. But his appreciation of creativity, of the creative intellect, was qualitatively differentiated. So he put all the Chachmei Yisrael on one side, so then it would never add up to his appreciation. It's a different kind of appreciation of Chachmei. Different level, different kind, different nature. So, why did he say if you throw in Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkacz? That's what I said. The reason why he mentions the throne of Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkacz, he doesn't say the other, conversely he doesn't say it, is because to show that this is really the height, this is really the ultimate, in that man finds his ultimate relationship. Not to say, it doesn't mean to say that if a person, you can't do one, not the other. I mean, it doesn't mean if a person likes the creative process and he doesn't care if he forgets to see the mind, you see? That is not a... We're not talking about such a thing. I mean, the perfection is made up of a lot of things. You have to remember that. It's made up of many different things. But there are various fronts. various expressions that it takes. And what he's saying is that in the area of creativity, that's the most essential area. But you can't just forget about the other areas. I mean, you have to understand that. I mean, absolutely. Sure. That's why I said there's an, as a matter of fact, there's an issamit araisa to forget Torah. An issamit araisa, love and araisa, to forget Torah. What does it mean, forget Torah? It means, so the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara says that, what about a person that forgot, that was he happened to forget, it was Cholah, he forgot. So is he over the love? The Gemara says, "Ain't over alim came mesiro meliba." What does it mean, mesiro? What does it mean, mesiro meliba? What does it mean, a person removes it from his heart? How do you remove knowledge from your heart? You know a Gemara. You know Shnayim Melachim Metals. What are you going to do? You remove it? You can't remove it. And what does it mean? So the Rambam says that a person has to always chaza, always review Torah. Why? He says because if he doesn't review Torah, he's going to forget. What does it mean? It means to say that there's a constant process of the soul that values the ideas of Chachma, that it's constantly turning towards it. Mesiro Milibo means a certain emotional state when he doesn't really get, so I won't learn today, so I won't review these ideas. Oh, I might forget an idea, who cares? That's a love and a rice. The attitude towards knowledge must be a recognition of the value in every point, every idea. If you have such an attitude, then you can't waste your time. How can I waste my time? I mean, I might forget a Gemara that I learned. I mean, there might be a certain point that's not so salient in my memory right now. I have to review it. There's a certain value to every bit of knowledge. That's a love in the rice, and if it gets Torah. It's a love in the Torah.
It would seem that these different qualities that you mentioned, few of them, such as Yirei Chet and Midot, is a matter of Bechira. Person
exercises
Bechira on how to control his emotions.
See,
but the other one, it's not Bechira. Some people are born with better creative powers of creativity than others.
Okay. You see, you have to understand something, that the question of Bechira over here. Bechira, a person, everybody has Bechira. But the Chazal recognize that you don't have Bechira to an unlimited degree. That's why it's Hu Yamon Shvacham. Each person is different. Your Rabbi Loza ben Horkinis could never have the creativity of Rabbi Loza ben Arach. Couldn't have it. And it didn't disturb him that he didn't have it. Because each person, you have Bechira, but you have Bechira within the nature of your soul. You don't have Bechira to just be anything. That's a nonsensical idea. And that's why Chazal said, "Oh, you're monofachon." Each one had his perfection, and each one abided by his own nature to bring it out to the fullest. That was the bechira. That's what the bechira is. The bechira is a realistic bechira. It's away from the childish idea of imagination. You know that you're going to become a great goyim, you're going to become a great this. That's nothing. You have to have a rational idea. And that means it's his own level, not Moshe. Ain't a little come before a Moshe, it's a fucking Zohar. Never been a Zohar Moshe. Yes, there is. Take up the idea of these five characteristics. All right? Okay, stop it.
I couldn't find it already.
This is Sunday, January 13th, 1985.
Each one has, in terms of his personality, a unique expression of his profession. And sometimes that expression can be an intellectual one. Sometimes it could be sometimes it could be one of the midos, because both things combined to create perfection. Both midos and intellect combined to create perfection. Perfection is basically, without being metaphysical about it, perfection is the attachment of the soul to the good. And it involves both, it incorporates both realms. So each one had a unique expression in terms of his the essence of his perfection. The essence of his perfection resided in a certain unique characteristic. And that's the characteristic that Yochanan ben Zakkai enumerated. There's one thing we left open, and that is the fact that he was Mona Shrachman
He enumerated all five. Is that accidental? All five, or is it, does it mean if you have 10, you enumerate all 10? Or is all five, did you enumerate all five, because in the enumeration of all five, there is some type of totality here. It's not just that accidentally that there's five. But there's some type of totality emerges from the fact that you have these five. So I think it might be worthwhile to examine, to pursue this line of thought, to see if it's really a total structure here, or if it's just that he happened to enumerate five qualities. We have to examine it according to the different shortcut that we have. According to the Rambam, let's go through it according to the Rambam. Everybody agrees that when it comes to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus and Rabbi Eliezer ben Arah, that there's no question that it's a matter of two separate intellectual perfections. Okay? The arguments come about when it comes to the other Tanayim. Alright? So, let's take a look. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya Ashrei Yoladeto. So we'll follow the Lord. How does the Rambam learn Ashrei Yoladeto? The Rambam learns Ashrei Yoladeto means that it's perfection of the Midos. In general, it's perfection of the Midos. That's Ashrei Yoladeto. Okay? Now, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen Chosid. Chosid, what is Chosid? So we mentioned last week the Ben Yonah's chat. Chosid means that he did everything Lefini should have been. He was into the philosophical profession. Now, according to the Rambam, it's interesting. He says, Rav Yossi Shibach B'tov Milas Amidos Ube Milas HaSechulos. He says that Rav Yossi, when it says Chosid, Chosid means a combination of both. That's the way the Rambam learned. That Chosid means a combination of both. Milos and Midos, that's the way the Rambam learned. That Chosid means a combination of both. Milos and Midos, U Milos and Sechulos. It's an interesting thing. What does it mean a combination? What does it mean a combination of both? What does it mean a combination of both? Oh, that's what it goes for. Then the last one is, and Rav Shimon Shibach be Yiras State. Yiras State, nobody disagrees with. What exactly Yiras State is? Yiras State, as we said last week, means that the person formulates that's one of the hardest things to do. That even though he's not attached to the good, but his mind, the part of him that his mind sees the good, and he works that way, his measures, to ensure that he goes in the proper direction so that he will arrive at the good. That's a very difficult task. Okay? So we said also that you see from this that even great Chachamim still had to deal with that phenomenon. Still had to deal with that phenomenon. That Yiras Chait. Okay. Now, according to the Rambam, there is a picture that really seems to emerge. Why? Because you have the Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, his memory, attachment to the song of knowledge, that was therein resided perfection. And then you have the next one was Rabbi Yeshua's Milos Amidos, that in him it was the Midos means that his desire, the energy level, the amount of energy that was directed towards the good was very good. That was where that was the expression of his perfection. Then you have Rabbi Yossi HaKohen Chosid according to the Rambam. It means that he was a it means according to the Rambam both. It was Milos Amidos or Milos Asichulis. So what do you have to have both for? And the answer is that there was a unique balance. The balance was what his uniqueness was. It was an even balance. It was like an even personality. His Chachma and his Midos worked hand in hand in a very even way. That's something that is a different kind of perfection. It was the harmony, the harmonious soul. Yossi Yochasid was the harmonious soul. That was what he, that's how he prayed. That's a different phrase. It's not a repetition of both. It's a certain harmoniousness in his soul that he recognized and he prayed for. And then you have then you have your estate. Then you have your estate. Your estate is that he takes the proper measures to he takes the proper measures to ensure his perfection. And then you have the intellectual creativity. All right. So what do you say? Does a picture emerge now?
That concludes this tape. Please go. Please move on to Perek Aleph, Perek Beis 15.